my mother's generation. She didn't get an opportunity to speak it or utilize it because she was the first generation that grew off of the missions, and her father didn't have the opportunity to speak it. And if he did, he was punished for it because he lived on the missions. For me, it's a massive spiritual connection, gateway to our culture, but I'm honored to be able to speak it and utilize it today because my generation is the first generation to be able to utilize language freely.
Like many of the traditional languages which became extinct since 1788, the Kaurna language of the Adelaide Plains was last spoken as an everyday language in the 1860s. After hibernating for over a century, the language was brought back to life in the late 1980s when a few elders, community members and a linguist decided to team up to restore the language. Kaurna and Noongar man Vincent Jack Buckskin was one of the first students to relearn the language. Jack is currently one of the 5 fluent speakers of the Kaurna language.
Some are more advanced than others. Some of those are young kids that I've worked with. There's 2 that I've worked with since they were year 8. And now they're working alongside me on the journey of language revitalization. But we get around to lots of schools and just give them tasters. So, yeah, small group. But, it's starting to make traction as an everyday language as well now.
Jack is teaching Kaurna language to people of all ages, including his mother.
Yeah, it's hard teaching mum. She's probably the hardest student I've had. Because you don't tell your mum what to do and she'll tell me what to do. So a lot of those older people in the older generation have just gone, well, we'll learn the basics just to get by, but the younger kids will take off with it.
Professor James Simpson is the Deputy Director of the ARC Centre of Excellence for the Dynamics of Language at the Australian National University. She says Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities often go through an arduous process to piece together and restore a lost language.
It is a hard job restoring a language. So we have so many things that we need to talk about, and we need to talk fairly fast and communicate ideas quickly. So to do that with a language where you've only got a couple of hundred words recorded, that's really tough.
Professor Simpson says successful examples of communities reclaiming their language heritage by using old written sources, including the Ngunnawal language in the Australian Capital Territory and Wiradjuri and Gamilaroi languages in regional New South Wales.
Probably the best example is Kaurna, which was recorded by missionaries in the early 1840s, and they provided a dictionary and a grammar and some sentences and a couple of songs. And now there are Kaurna people like Jack Buckskin who speak Kaurna fluently and who've been raising families to try to speak Kaurna.
One of the most spoken Indigenous languages in Australia is the Yolngu Matha, a term for the 40 Yolngu languages spoken across northeast Arnhem Land, where the traditional culture has stayed strong. Miriam Yirininbe, Dorgi, also known as Yinin, is a proud Wurundjeri woman from Dolomboi homeland. She teaches the Yolngu Studies courses at Charles Darwin University. The interview is conducted in a native language, Dathangul, with translations from her colleague Sylvia Ngulpindichi. Yinin sees her mission as teaching the new generation to speak their mother tongue and learn their roots.
And where it is linking between Manikaili, Bunguli, Nangula Malanda, Bungul Malanda, Tawatun, Tulukanaya. Whereas the idea of using language links to people, from people to people, speaking in different dialects, but still understanding when it comes to ceremonies. And that is what is that making us together one, hopefully strong.
Yinin says songlines, which are songs and stories of a journey made during the dream time, are an important tool for language teaching.
We can understand and clearly hear language in different dialect parts of different songlines, and we know of it, what we need to do, how we need to dance. But young people, they don't have the intention and interest to learn, but it is there. It was always there.
Professor Jane Simpson says it's important for all Australians to embrace Indigenous languages as they mean more than our shared heritage.
But they're specifically part of the heritage of Indigenous Australians, and the well-being of many people is bound up with recognition of their language and their language rights and support for them communicating in both their traditional language and in English. And at the moment, we've got a situation where people don't feel particularly valued, their languages aren't valued, and that results in social disharmony.
With the latest census showing only 1 in 10 Indigenous Australians speak an Indigenous language, Jack says the languages can really strengthen with the support of all Australians.
The languages are local to our areas and specific to those areas for all people to be able to utilise it. You know, as the old saying goes, you know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And our languages are unique to our country. And one of the old rules is to speak the language in the country you're on. And Aboriginal people knew that, and Aboriginal people do that. Now we're all about teaching the non-Aboriginal people to be able to embrace and utilise those rules as well.
He suggests perhaps the first step is to start with learning a simple greeting in Kaurna.
Well, one of the basic ones that we teach a lot of non-Aboriginal people is Nina Marni, and Nina Marni means, are you good? It's a contemporary greeting. It's not how Aboriginal people greet each other. We've sort of created these new phrases for people, and I guess non-Aboriginal people, how they speak today. The traditional greeting for us is Wantinina, where are you going? Because everybody's obviously busy and keeping themselves occupied, so we don't really care how you feel. It's not how we greet each other, but we want to know what you're doing.